So now that Adam is here, we can start. So the goal is that the work session is going to last from 4 to 5, and then our special meeting, which should be quick because it's just going to be voting, will start at 5. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the contract with Buffalo EMS. There's some different options on the table. They're 1 year, so right now there's the automatic chance of automatic renewal with the current contract, 1 year automatic renewal, 3 year contract, 1 year automatic renewal of the current contract, and well, until we can get provisions in place of a longer contract, and then there was also talk of a 4 year contract. So I just open this up to the board for discussion. With two, I think it's appropriate time to bring in Buffalo EMS too, so we can have those conversations. It is my understanding that you are requesting a 4 year contract.
I think for the stability, yes.
I know we kind of voiced our some opinions last meeting without getting fully into it, and I'll kind of just mention what I'd mentioned last meeting is that I'm in favor of a longer contract again for the stability, and we have a lot of trainings going on, a lot of new EMTs coming in, give everyone the peace of mind that they're doing that and putting that hard work in to have somewhere to work. So I would like us to consider the 3 or 4 year options.
Does that restrict Buffalo EMS to a certain income level for a period of time where inflation may really change the dynamic and need to renegotiate before 4 years goes by?
Can I answer that? The money portion of the agreement is negotiated on an annual basis. And so that's usually at the March and April meetings. So that whatever we agree on this year does not necessarily mean that's what we agree on for the remaining 3 or 4 years.
So it's a technically it's like a we want you for 4 years, but every year we're going to possibly,
renegotiate the amount.
Okay. So if we negotiate an amount now and we say 4 years, that is not the negotiated, Yes.
Madam Chairman, the reason for a longer contract is when you're doing trainings, it takes 5 months to get through a training, and then those basics, EMTs are, they're not capable, or they're capable, but we don't throw them under a bus to go out on calls alone. And so it takes an additional, typically 2 years before they're even ready to, be a real, they're not the third rider. And so 3 years' time, then we have an EMT. And if it's any less than that, it's just too big a risk. We have these older EMTs that are primaries, and they go on nearly every call, unless it's something, lift assist or something mundane. So that's kind of our thinking, is that the training takes too long. I mean, didactic is 5 months, but going from zero to, shocking people and saving lives takes 2 or 3 years before we allow them.
If the option of 4 year, so I don't want to dig through these papers to find, but Carrie, remind me. So we budget negotiations are due by?
Well, at the March 13th meeting, Buffalo EMS will provide the treasurer and the board an explanation of what we are requesting for the next fiscal year, starting July 1st. And then you, at the March meeting, you can discuss it if you want, or you can just take it home. And then at the April meeting, you will have to vote or have an April special meeting, but by the first week in May, the deadline is to approve that amount or offer another amount.
My question is because of that, like, how do you, there's also a option on the table too, so say we chose 4 years, are those budget negotiations able to happen sufficiently in sort of this short amount of time from March until?
That's when they always happen.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the 2 months time frame that we've were provided and spelled out in the contract. That's how it was, and very specific dates that the board has assigned letter. Either agreeing or to the amount, and then Buffalo EMS will then have a signed letter agreeing to that amount.
Okay. So. I appreciate that I wasn't aware that I guess I just had in my head that we stay 4 years and then we're locked in for 4 years. And fiscally, I didn't feel like that was a good option for us, because anything can change for you and for us. But now that I know that it's an annual thing.
The mill changes every year.
Yeah.
And so we have to kind of fluctuate with that.
And that was my concern, we're locked in for 4 years, and then what if mill changes and we're the fourth year, we have no money.
Right. And this 4 year contract will allow, as I mentioned, stability for training, but stability for, the people that work for us and have worked for us for 20 plus years. And we currently have a timeline for education, and honestly, if we were just to go year by year, our timeline going from basic to advanced to intermediate, it's further on into that. And so, with this vision of having qualified and educated EMTs, I think we need longer than a year.
Yeah.
And not only Buffalo EMS, and speaking as a taxpaying citizen, I would like to know that we have an ambulance service as of July 1st this year, and then not a year by year, because there are communities around that cannot find people to want to contract because they don't have enough staff.
Sure. Yes.
Thank you. I'd like to speak with my association with Buffalo EMS, and just to kind of underscore what Carrie has just said, we've been very fortunate in this region to not be suffering what many other localities across the nation are, which is really having real trouble finding and retaining EMTs. And I don't think we've caught that bitter taste right now. But without some kind of security and longevity and commitment of partnership between Buffalo EMS and the Rural Healthcare District, that becomes jeopardized, and through that immediately becomes patient care jeopardized. And this kind of service that we've been able to provide, is potentially at risk. And I don't want to sound, desperately cautionary about that, but I think we should be mindful of that, and that there are many communities in Wyoming who no longer can provide the level of service that they wanted to or that they feel they need, and that this kind of contract arrangement does actually secure that without burdening financially, making it too tight and constrained. It allows Buffalo EMS to plan as a business providing this service, but it also gives, some flexibility Rural Healthcare District to contract as is appropriate and be mindful of taxpayer dollars.
Yeah. Well, I'm not quite ready for public comment yet, but as soon as I would like to let the board kind of speak to anything more that they would like, and then I will open it up for public comment.
Well, I have a couple of perspectives. One is, studying the financials of the district, preparing the budget for next month, it's apparent to me that the Buffalo Ambulance has generated more revenue to the board, to the district, than we've paid them. They've generated $400,000 in ambulance service call fees, another $400,000 last year in out-of-county transfers, and they were paid $750,000. That's an incredible value to the taxpayers of this county. Where most counties have to subsidize a service about 50% of their budget. I realize that was a windfall last year, but I think even if you eliminate the revenue from the out-of-county transfers, that's still a tremendous value for this county. In addition, we've never had a call refused. We've always had service when needed. We've been able to support our neighbors in Sheridan through a tough time. So the service provided for the value is a tremendous value. I would just say I would be overwhelmingly in favor of extending the contract. We would be hard-pressed to find anything even remotely close to this.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Not even addressing the staffing issue, which is a healthcare industry-wide problem. And we've got a cohesive group with a lot of longevity, and that adds to the quality of service. So I certainly would want to try to maintain what's going on currently.
Mm-hmm. Any other board members have any?
Well, I too feel that way. Having gone to that state meeting that we went to, emergency medical service meeting that they had in Gillette, I was in awe of how severe in other parts of the state are with their ambulance service. So I feel that we are very, very fortunate here in Johnson County with both Buffalo and KC. I think also that having seen what happened in Sheridan is a real eye-opener for us as well. And then that situation that happened in Lander where they went to a regional system and that Lander football player laid on the football field for 30 minutes before they got an ambulance there. So we don't have those problems in Johnson County. And I'm so grateful that both of the ambulance services are at every rodeo, are at every athletic thing that there might be some problems. As well as I have never heard one complaint in the community about lack of service or unprofessional service. And as I've stated many times, my family has used the service many times over the last, it was an 8-year period. And I just don't think we can jeopardize that. We think we're very, very fortunate. And I think a longer term contract would only be in order.
So I guess it's my turn.
Go ahead. Sure. If you have anything.
I do. I will say that KC does contribute to the funds that are collected for the Rural Healthcare District. It's not a lot, $20,000 a year or something like that, but they do contribute to the income. I cannot disagree with anything that's been said here about quality of service and the dedication of the EMTs. As far as a 4-year contract, sounds like that's where we're headed. My question is, are you prepared to just tonight at our meeting vote to give a 4-year contract, or are you wanting to see what that contract is going to look like before you agree to a 4-year contract? Because I don't know if any of you have seen a new contract. I don't know what that might look like, and I think I wouldn't be willing to approve a contract tonight unless it's the automatic renewal and then work on a 3 or 4 year contract going forward until I was able to have people look at a contract.
Any comment with that?
I guess we're not tying ourselves to, you know, if it gets to a, you know, negotiations and we're not tied to having to negotiate poor numbers and make bad decisions on behalf of the taxpayer. So I guess I don't see us, you know, if we agree on proceeding to try to negotiate the 4-year, I think that's the decision that needs to be made, and that we're not agreeing to any details in that contract is my understanding.
Yeah, I think that was my understanding too, that it was more just a length of time of contract, and then what that contract negotiation looks like will come later. Because, I mean, obviously a contract, we can, you know, there is no 4-year contract if we can't agree on the terms of the contract. So obviously that has to happen. I think that was my understanding anyway, that this was mainly just this is the length of time we want to ensure that we have Buffalo EMS services.
And then my other thought was, well, are we obligated to agree to a length tonight, or are we only obligated to say we agree to continue contracting with Buffalo EMS?
I think it's the length from our last meeting, because that was, you know, I think that's why the special meeting was called, because we weren't prepared last meeting to put that timeline on it. So I feel like that we need to decide on what that timeline looks like.
Yes.
Was my understanding.
Yep.
And can't the vote be contingent upon agreeing to the terms that, you know, when we vote, if we do a 4-year, we vote for this contingent upon the fact that we come to agreeable terms?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's how I saw it as well.
Well, I'm reading page 6 of 9 under General Provisions, section 10, subheading A. It says, either party may request changes in this contract. Any changes, modification, provisions, or amendments to the contract which are mutually agreed upon by and between the parties of this contract should be incorporated by written instrument. It seems like it's fairly loosely binding according to how those amendments or provisions are changed. And I guess unless it's contentious, it's a joint effort. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't here when the last contract was negotiated. Was that a difficult process?
It was very contentious. Yeah, in my opinion.
Do you think we're headed for that again?
Well, I would certainly hope not. I mean, I think there needs to be some give and take, for sure. That wasn't pleasant. I didn't like being threatened with lawsuits as a board member, and I would hope, I don't think that's going to happen with this current board. So I would think it would be pretty smooth.
And I think that's where Marie and I kind of come in as that committee that was created to sort of do that back-end collaboration and negotiation, and then bring everything to the board in terms of anything voted upon, and having that collaborative work, I think, will help.
Well, it's just not fun to be threatened to say that if you don't do this the way we think it should be done, you're going to cost somebody their life. And that puts board members in a pretty ugly spot. So I would just hope that that will not happen this go around.
Well, is it primarily a financial discussion? In other words, you have professionals who do a job, and you have a board that administers public funds, mm-hmm. and if we as a board can decide what's a fair price, haven't we done most of the work?
I think so, and I think it gets confusing between what is the board's role, really. I mean, the board, in my mind, has always been, we're the financial piece. We're not there to tell Buffalo EMS how to the private contractor, if that's what we're talking, a truly private contractor, how to run his business. We're here to make sure that we can fund and support that business as well as KC. And so I think there's just a lot of confusion sometimes on what the board is about. Our job, in my mind, is to work solely with the finances, the business end, negotiating with the contractor. We know we have a good contractor. It's those negotiations, those business dealings that cause the issues. It's not the EMTs. It's not the quality of care. It's that business piece, and it gets pretty sticky sometimes. But we're all, you know, we're all here to be the most responsible we can be.
Question.
I want to just let the board finish real quick. If anyone else has anything to say with that before I.
No. Good points.
Okay. I'll open it up for public comment.
Well, I just wanted to speak. Marilyn was here 2020 as a board member, as Dave and I and many of these EMTs, and that was our first contract. So I would agree that the negotiations were difficult, contentious, I guess that's a term, but difficult because we started from nothing. We didn't have anything to go from, and so it was a back and forth for several months, and Marilyn's right, the business, we had to think of business, and what was best for the business and the community. And I think we all came together, and we've learned a few things in the 3 years, and I think there's some tweaking, but I don't foresee anything contentious about any revisions or amendments. I think it's just experience that we both learned in those 3 years.
Yeah. Craig, I know you had your hand up earlier.
I was going to give you an example. This summer, I had a transfer from Sheridan to Sundance, and there were two EMTs in the hospital when we got there, and they were just kind of hanging around, and I said, how many ambulances do you guys have? And he said, three. I said, how long does it take you to get a second crew out? And his exact words were, we have to wait. It'll take us at least 30 minutes to get another ambulance out of Hewlett, and about the same from Spearfish, if they will come. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that said so much to me.
Sure. Yeah. Any other public comment? Yes.
I'm just going to mirror what Carrie said. I don't foresee the, you know, this, we've got a form, we've got a base to start with. I don't see anything contentious coming, at least not from our side.
Okay.
And I wouldn't expect that from the board either.
Sure. Okay.
I don't know about starting from scratch, because there was an existing contract prior to the one that last negotiated one. Just to be clear,
okay.
There's always been a contract.
Okay.
Except for when the county was one organization and everybody was more together.
Sure.
And in my mind, that's the best way to save money, is have one service for the entire county. But that's either here nor there.
Okay. If there's no more discussion on this topic, we can't vote on anything right now until 5 o'clock anyway. So if we feel like we've had enough discussion on the contract where you feel comfortable to vote at 5, we can move on to the grant.
Okay.
Good?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So the grant, Ward Manton Land Acquisition. Marilyn, I'm going to look to you a little bit since you developed these grants. I went through a lot of the stuff, but so the I have a breakdown of the building cost estimate. Construction total for the building is $746,744, so $747,000 roughly. And then total, including like the engineering and everything, and then also the land acquisition is included in this. So total cost of everything, including land acquisition, is $949,918.40. Each of these, the grants that were awarded, there is a mineral royalties grant, and then the ARPA grant. They're both reimbursement grants, and I went through each of them. And obviously, you cannot exceed the $450,000. So obviously, if you don't get, if you only need $425,000 of it, that's mm-hmm. what you're reimbursed. And then it's reimbursed, you pay, and then it's reimbursed within 45 days of mm-hmm. you submitting anything. So the money comes back, the turnaround time is quick as it is needed. There are plans in place. There's draft building, and these are just drafts. So yeah. They obviously could change, but the way it is drafted is three ambulance bays, and then one of those ambulance bays will have a fourth ambulance behind the ambulance. The one that's drafted obviously includes a couple bedrooms, which I don't think is a thing. And what I want to preface all of this with saying, at least when I started running for this position, it was noted in January of 2021, 2022's minutes maybe, and it said that the building will be built with provisions of it holding two EMTs and a paramedic. And I think that said to me as a person coming in that, okay, that means dissolution of Buffalo EMS if a new building is being built. I want to put that completely aside and say this absolutely means no dissolution of Buffalo EMS, but I think it means enhancement of Buffalo EMS. Because I see a lot of cool things that could be done. One of the things that I think, just envisioning my educator brain, is that you are an EMT. You're an intermediate EMT. You go on a code call and you miss the IV twice, right? And which happens to the best of us, right? You come back to the building and you say, I need to practice. It's fresh in my head. I need to practice starting an IV because I just missed on this guy twice. There's a training room set up of an arm and IV supplies, and you go right there and you practice, and it's right there available to you. Training for airway, training for IOs, training for any other thing that you have is available. So I'm just throwing these ideas out there of what I'm foreseeing the possibilities in a building could be. You have a place to wash the ambulance right there, and then you're in a heated building, you open up the doors, and you easily stock the ambulance. You practice in the ambulance with whatever you want to do. The options are endless. It gives a place to hold meetings, classrooms. That hospital doesn't have to be used anymore. Just kind of some ideas out there with that. Again, you know, like I said, I don't see bedrooms being needed, but there is a 31-foot long training room that's in here. And then storage and things. So again, I think these are just rough sort of estimates of things that the possibility of this could be. I also have pictures if anyone wants to see the draft in place that was done for the building. It is a Cleary building. That was
the original idea. And the building committee also got copies of that layout.
This as well. So.
Well, do you have a building committee in place so that everybody knows that, right?
Well, but I think it's with old board members.
Right.
So yes.
I mean, it would have to be revised.
Yes, yes. And I also have letters of support from, these letters of support had to occur prior to the grant being awarded from Johnson County entities noting the desire and need for a building. So I will just open it up to conversation now with the board first, and then I will open it up to public comment. Can you comment real quick about, I read through here, there was a bunch of things that were done through realtors who looked at other options, city options.
Mm-hmm.
They went through the cost and everything. It's pretty detailed within the grant. It shows everything that was looked at. The Calvary building right here and things like that. Prior to this other, the other location being added. And I will add, there was a letter that noted, maybe while you talk I'll find that. Go ahead and talk and I'll find that, that noted the location. It must have been someone who did some kind of evaluation down there by the Volunteer Lane location.
Yeah.
And he talked about the location.
Okay.
Oh, maybe it's right here. It came from Bighorn Surveying and Engineering, and they reviewed the construction site, the Anderson Addition. That's that
mm-hmm.
one. So I can, okay. The lots are flat, requiring minimal amount of dirt work, one tree that might need to be removed, and then there's taps for both the property line for both sewer and water available right there, and power would be brought from a pole 600 feet away. So just to give you kind of a overview of...
At the purchase lot.
Yes, yep. An overview of what was done. Okay.
So, well, where to start? Okay, so the board, we talked about wanting a building, and the board approved looking for funding, grant funds, and also to look at what was available. So we looked at, and it's in the grant. Though all those we had to come up. The grant required alternatives, so we had to come up with alternatives. And so, tried to put every site that we looked at as an alternative. Each time we had a site to look at, there was resistance. I'm going to say that because there was. The first place we looked at was up by the school administration building. We had people come to the meeting and discourage the school board from considering it. We looked at another property up who's now, they have a home built on it now, but just down across from, what was it? It's the Boys and Girls School.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
Okay. That there was another offer made that will pay you more than what you might be offered. We looked at this place right here because this was kind of the go-to spot because it was centrally located. They wanted $360,000 or something like that, $1,000 for it at the time for the entire lot, buildings and all. And that kind of just sat there for a while. So, having been not successful looking for anything else, we went to the fire district and looked at that property and determined that that would be a legitimate place to build. There was also discouragement to the fire district board about that. Potentially, you build a building down there, somebody's going to lose their life. So, the board, we then came back and
it was wasn't unanimous, but it was voted on to go ahead and purchase the county fire hall building land down there. It's almost an acre, not quite, off the north bypass. Like I said, it wasn't unanimous, but it passed. So we went ahead and did that. We had traffic studies looked at. I talked to YDOT. YDOT had done a traffic study on Hart Street. I had those numbers. I had the county had also done traffic counts down there because there's a legitimate concern about EMTs driving from their home to that site. Legitimate. Worth considering. And so we had that done. We talked to the fire department. Fire department can get five guys down there, get them in bunker gear, get them out the door from wherever they come from, and be on scene almost right with ambulance service most of the time. But so that happened. Then we had the opportunity, if we can find grant money, can we go for it? Yeah, go for it. I don't know. I don't remember if that was unanimous vote either, but it passed. So we applied to the mineral royalty grant fund. Well, let me back up. We set aside $500,000 in our budget. It's not in the budget, but we set it aside to have it available to build a building, purchase land, if and when it needed to happen. So that happened. Then, so now we're sitting here and we're looking at the available grants. So we got the approval to do the grant applications, the first one, the mineral royalty one, and then the ARPA. Mineral royalty grant was $425,000. That's a matching grant. So you have to be able to come use your money that you have budgeted to cover that. Then the opportunity for the, and that was approved and signed. Then the American Recovery Act thing came out. So, okay, go ahead and apply. So I did. We were approved $450,000 for that one. Now, that one hasn't been signed. It's just waiting for the board to make a decision on. So with the going back to the mineral royalty one, that money has to be obligated, allocated by the end of 2024. The ARPA, same thing. You have until December of 2026 to complete the project. Now, by using the mineral royalty grant as the match for the ARPA grant, basically what will happen when it all shakes out is it will, to keep it, it's important to say that it has to be kept under a certain cost because we don't want, so it, when it all shakes out, we should, could have the potential of not having to use any of the rural health care district funds. I don't know if that's very realistic or not.
Sure.
So that's where we're sitting.
Okay.
And you know, location is a big issue to probably everybody in the room.
And you had mentioned previously that someone from maybe the state had said that you can put a emergency stop, like not a stoplight,
well,
but sort of an emergency sign.
There is a sign that other communities have if they're pulling out into a high traffic area at certain times of the day. You can, they'll work with you, and you can probably get a light up there that's in the ambulances, but that you can push that will change that light so you can go through the intersection. Fire goes through the intersection all the time, and I don't know that they've ever had any problem. But that's not the problem. The thing that I see is once you get there, you're going to get out okay. Where I see the concern is and I don't see it as much as, you know, but is getting from your job down there. And it seems like everybody's fixated on having to use Hart Street, but you don't necessarily have to use Hart Street to get there. And then the other thing is, well, it's better to have it centrally located. So I met with our planner, and we went through a trend in growth for our area. What we saw is that our growth area is going to be north and east. Maybe a little bit south, but to start with, those two directions. So it's like, well, depending on where your call comes in, where are you going to be closest to? I don't know. But anyway, that was thought about as well. So I don't want people to feel like their concerns were ignored, because they're not, and they're legitimate, and so needs to be talked about. I don't know what else you want me to say.
No, that was good. Just the background of how that was chosen and stuff. Since, yeah, that's perfect. So, okay. So with that, board discussion on grant awardments. And so essentially the reason we need to have this conversation is we need to say yay or nay to the grant, because there are other communities who got denied the grant who want the grant. And so it's only fair that we make a quick decision in terms of this. So,
which grant?
Both grants.
Okay. So combined, there's $875,000. And in theory, we might have to contribute $425,000, but we may be able to apply one grant to the other, which seems a little clever, but if it worked, that's great. And the plans are for a building that's estimated to cost just under $1 million.
With the price, yeah, that's what, including everything, but with the price of things, I can't say. I don't know what it's going to end up being. You know, since we started looking at this, the Clarity building doubled since we started.
And that included, though, with this building, I'm assuming it was this planned building that was included in this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's two bedrooms, two bathrooms, a full kitchen. So that could be.
Well, and the thought there was, because if I may go back to your statement about feeling like a building was intentionally mm-hmm. set out to destroy Buffalo EMS. I don't go along with that. I know some of the board members were like, we need to get paramedics. We'd like to have paramedics. I'll just speak for myself. My thought is, we don't necessarily have to have that living quarter completed.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to look down the road for the next 20, 30 years, maybe even 10, we need to be able to have that ability in that building. And whether we just wire it and plumb it and not do anything else, use it for whatever until that day comes, I think that's legitimate. Mm-hmm. And but I will say this. I don't want to have a building if our EMTs aren't going to want to be in it and take care of it. And if they're opposed, I still think for the future and the good of the community, we need a building. But I'm just, so I'll leave that. Okay.
No, just off of that comment, I agree. We need to think of the long term here and what 10, 15, 20 years looks. And we maybe not won't need paramedics in 10 years or 20 years or ever, but, you know, to have that possibility. So I agree, we need to have that consideration long term, but I would kind of be more in favor of having a phase two option, maybe, so we don't include those now, obviously, that we're mindful that maybe in the future we would need them and we could add on at that point, especially if I mean, that price is double at this point. Maybe we are going to have to cut that, you know, a couple of those things to where we're not dumping into our accounts as much. But, no, I agree with the thought needs to be there, even if it's positioning that to do an addition or something.
I think one thing that concerns me is that I'm not sure what grant money is going to look like in the future. And we are awarded almost $900,000 in money, and I ran on being fiscally responsible. And so I think that what do we say to a community who comes if we decide to turn this grant away, and we say, well, like, we don't know what the future holds. Like, I would love to see Buffalo EMS around for the next 100 years, but we can't know, but like, no one knows what's happening. No one knows what's going to hold in the future. And then if for whatever reason, 10 years down the road, Buffalo EMS says, Dave says, I'm retiring to Hawaii. We don't have a building anymore, and we don't have anything. And we have to come back to the community and say, well, we turned it away in hopes that everything was going to work out in the future. And again, I don't see this as, two, I also don't look at it as, I look at it as what could happen in the future, but I also look at it as the possibility for advancement for our EMTs in a new building. If this training can occur and these things that, these simulations that we can apply mm-hmm. grants for and things, just, I think those opportunities are also important because that enhances patient care and promotes patient safety. So that's just some of my thoughts with that. Regarding the building, I realize it's not a ideal location. I'm assuming, does it kind of back up? I drove past it to see. Does it back up against the crossroads mm-hmm. there? Okay, that's the area. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Any more board member comment? Our special meeting is supposed to start in 5 minutes, but we can start the special meeting and still have conversation about this.
I just have one comment I'd like to make. These grants are a gift to Johnson County, $875,000, almost $900,000. And I think being physically responsible, we need to move forward. And I don't know if we can afford what the actual cost is going to be in the end. But I think we need to do our due diligence and move forward. And because, like you said, we come back in 10 years or whatever, and the county has to come up with all that, I don't think we've done our job. So I feel that we need to do due diligence and see what we can do with that. And maybe it is have a phase two. But anyway, that's to see if we can even afford it with a new price and new... committee and that type of thing. That's just my thoughts.
Brittany, just one other thing. So, before we adjourn the work session, the timelines. I didn't mention the timelines. So, I did mention 2024 and 2026, but with the mineral royalty grant, if we aren't agree upon a location, we can't get our RFP done for architects, and we can't get our true design, and we can't do anything until we know where our location is going to be. So I think that's something that needs to be considered, even if we had to, I don't know, continue this to the next meeting or whatever, but if we aren't going to agree on that location and we have to start looking for somewhere else, that's going to really interfere with us being able to complete the work on just the thought.
What was the timeline? I mean, that we need to let them know we're accepting. I mean, that's...
I thought when I looked, it just said it is crucial that we know soon.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think it gave an exact date.
They just need to know. Now, the other one's already been signed, but if we can't agree that that's the location, then we're done. So,
with those grants, did if we change the location, do we still get the grant?
Yeah, you could if you have time to get everything done within their framework.
Sure. Okay.
And I mean, okay. Brittany, just because I know you said you spoke to some realtors, do you want to touch on that though too? Because
I spoke to a realtor about city property, and she was pretty much like, I'll keep my eye out. There's a few options, but the options were in the over $300,000 range for a lot. So what I think what we'll do is we'll start our work session, and then we can vote real quick on the contract, and then we can go back into some more comment about the grant, just so, because when I did the special district training, it says like if you stay 5 o'clock, you have to start at 5 o'clock. So we're going to just continue the conversation, but we're going to make it official and start the special district meeting. So I'm going to call to order the special meeting. So the first thing that we're going to do is, let's just continue with the work session. Let's continue conversation with Grant. But we're in our special meeting, so that has started. Dr. Schuler, did you have any?
Yeah, I have a couple of thoughts. I'm assuming we need enough room for 4 ambulances. That's sort of a good number that allows some flexibility for at least 10 years down the road. I'm assuming that living quarters could be added later if the cost is prohibitive, as long as you've got enough room, and I think an acre probably gives you that, whether you frame it in and you've got extra structural space or that gets added to the structure later. That's kind of an architect's answer. The location is probably not as advantageous as the current one. However, as the community grows, it probably is becoming more centrally located. It also may become an advantage to be where the fire people go, because there may be some cross coverage. In some services, it becomes fire and EMS, and I think there's some economy to that. That's a change of our current model, but change always happens. Knowing what we have and not being a finance expert, but I think we could afford to take $500,000 from reserves if we get $900,000 in grants and accomplish something now, being able to utilize those grants and have something that can be enhanced later without getting into financial trouble. And if finances don't look good in the future, we're not in debt. And if they are, we can start enhancing.
And the thing to note is that completion needs to be by the end December of 2026. So technically, that's almost 4 years away before a new building will even be constructed.
There's a lot to do.
It's not like this building happens tomorrow. So that is part of that too to note. I appreciate you saying that too, Dr. Schuler, about the proximity of the county fire to that. Any more board conversation with this? Okay, I will open it up now to public comment. Yes, Dennis.
Dennis Thorson, I get to be an EMT here. I got to sit in on the meetings, which I took the drawing which you have seen and shown. I took the drawing and tweaked it just a little bit. And I went to an engineering firm, and we drew up a plan that would hold actually 6 ambulances. It would be a three-stall three ambulance system. I have the plans drawn up at the house. I realize the board can't do anything legally. I can. I have the plans drawn up from an engineering firm. It entails everything which you requested: office, training room, security room, med room, washroom, bathrooms, decontamination room. I didn't put a price on it, but it's drawn, and it wasn't that hard to do. The guy helped me with it a lot and put it together, and it came out as a professional drawing. Your concerns, which I believe every one of you, minus one, has stated, was location. Yeah, it'll do, but that's not the prime location. That's not a good location. There are three corner blocks on 4th Street, two of which are for sale. One of them has three full lots on it. The guy said he wanted, $70,000 a lot. One of those lots also has water, sewer hooked up to facilities, so that's already there. So the fact of getting something in town, I'm at 150 at 70 times 3, so I mean...
Where is the lot?
Do you know where the old highway department is? It's now called the Wyoming. It's now called the Wyoming Transportation Department. Mm-hmm. If you go catty corner from that, there's an old garage sitting there. I talked to the gentleman that owns it, and this was back when we were trying to find property. Mm-hmm. The gentleman said, "Yeah, he'd probably sell it, but he wanted a handsome price for it at the time, because property was going up and he could make some money." If you go right straight across the street, Zach Armstrong owns a house across the street, which belonged, it might have just sold.
It sold a while ago.
Now, the other one, which is one that the board would have to wait on, that would be the Wyoming Transportation Department. They're building a brand new building out here at Jolly Interchange sometime.
Yeah.
We don't know the when. But what happens with that property when the state is done with it, according to an engineer I talked to, and I can't say this is state law or anything, it reverts back to the county. The county then takes over, the county or the city would take over that entire lot. You have a building already built. You have pavement already there, which would house 4 to 5 ambulances with everything you'd needed. The building's already there. All you'd need to do would be to allow the highway department to take it over. But we'd have to go through the county. I believe it's the county that gets it. I'm not positive. But the state reverts back to. So we would have to get that property from the county, and the county could keep it, but there's a piece of property that's all buildings already built. So part of the work is done, but at the same time, I don't think due diligence was done on the where. I believe that either one of those corner lots, Armstrong sold, I didn't know that, but right across the street didn't.
The problem is the state has had that out there for quite some time.
Yeah, I know.
Nothing has
used to work for the state. But the availability of it is actually a good one, the one on the other corner, just because it is a 4-lane highway. You're pulling out onto a 4-lane highway, not a 2-lane highway, not off of a private street. It's actually a very good location if the gentleman would sell it, and I don't know why he wouldn't.
Can you say again where it is?
Mormon Church, straight west. There's a vacant lot right there with an old gas station garage.
Jehovah's Witness.
I was lost.
Oh, okay.
Straight to the west.
Catty corner from the
it's
transportation
got a house on.
Department.
It's got like a modular
it's
home
a
on
garage
it.
On, no, it's an old garage.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Right across from Zach Armstrong's place,
yeah,
straight
okay.
north.
Okay.
That he says he has three lots there, and one of them is already hooked up to facilities. That right there, in my opinion, would have been an ideal place to put a barn. There's numerous places now. I see that changing locations might be a problem, but in my opinion, that would be a very good location. And as Marilyn and Dave can all testify, I have been on board with a building at some point in time since the beginning of this. Because contrary to people's popular belief, day's not going to last forever. some point in time, Johnson County is going to need, Buffalo, Wyoming is going to need a place for the ambulances. So I'm not against the building. I don't like where it's going or where you're going to end up putting it.
Thank you.
And I have the drawings. If you'd like to see the drawings of the buildings, they're done and okay. They're drawn.
Okay. Thank you. Sean.
I just have a question more than a comment right now. If you guys, so I guess my understanding is you need to commit to a piece of property to accept the grant. Or to accept the grant, you need to say, hey, okay, this is the property this is going to go on. Is that right or am I wrong?
Could I answer that?
Absolutely.
So, Sean, that's not exactly correct. What I mean to say is that we have to determine a location, because when we were required to have a RFP sent out for architect, engineering, design, we can't determine what that's going to be if we don't have a piece of property.
So that's just pertaining to what that building design is going to look like.
Yeah,
you want
what
that
it's going
to
cost.
To meet the 2024 timeline, right, Marilyn?
Right.
So,
right.
But we can accept it without.
You could
technically
accept the grant, moving forward with the idea that that is the property you have right now. But is that off the table to trade that or do something with that property in relation?
As long
to
as that occurred in a timeline that we could meet the 2024 deadline.
I was just curious if we were locked into that specific property today or not.
No, and you could, if the board chose to use part of their grant funds to go ahead and spend $300,000+ on a property, I imagine that could be done within the grant funding. We used the $80,000 for the property that was purchased as a, what is the word for it, to show that we had, you know, that we're moving forward with our project. So I don't think there's anything in the verbiage that wouldn't allow you to change that. It's just all timing.
So I guess with that information, it would make me want to think more about that building design and less about property, in the sense that you guys have a building kind of sketch in mind, but maybe think a little more out of the box in terms of different building structures rather than a long, you know, ranch-style building. You could do an L-shaped building with a second story that has your administrative and your training with bays underneath.
Yeah.
So I guess I was just trying to, well, I thank the board for their forward thinking. I'm trying to be, you know, maybe I would say maybe more like 50 years out in front of you guys, and I think that's what building's life expectancy might be in this situation. So thank you for thinking about that. But maybe not lock ourselves into this idea of a mono slab with a one-story structure on it, because that does lock you into a location. You can use multiple locations if you have building variables. And I guess that's just a construction background talking, and thank you for your time.
I think one of my goals with this, too, is if it continues forward, is I want to work with Buffalo EMS, because I don't know what you need inside an ambulance building. And so my goal is to have these collaborative meetings to say, you tell us what you want in a building. Like, this is something that could be awesome for you in a brand new building. You tell us what you want in it. You tell us how big the training room needs to be. So I think this is just rough in terms of it had to be done in order to apply for these grants. How this looks could possibly be changed based on your needs that you foresee, is my goal, is to make sure that whatever this building looks like, it accommodates what you need as EMTs. So, Kate.
I have a question, which is, this takes it up to the point of build, construction. What do we know, what investigation have you been able to gather about how much overhead would cost to sustain that building? Because there are two steps to that. There's the initial build period, and yes, you know, very affordable with grant monies and so on. But if the overhead to keep that up and running is also at a high dollar amount, can the current system sustain that? And what does that look like for the future? You know, what burden is there on the community for that at that point?
I think you, Marilyn, did you mention before that you had a study done on the utilities?
Look at that. Talk to some other ambulance facilities and fire departments, mm-hmm. and looked at those utility costs, because there's a lot of things you don't think about. Snow removal,
electricity,
all the utilities, and the estimate that I got, one that sticks in my mind, and this was so it's probably gone up since the utilities have gone up. The estimate was like $2,500 a month for utilities, which seems terrible to me. Mm-hmm. And that was using a certain type of heat. So the heat that I, from talking to other services and fire departments, they use it's called a tube heat. So it has those shiny
parts. Yeah, I can explain it. It's a railback. It's it's actually a radiant type of heat. And it starts at the ceiling, it reflects down, and the idea is to heat everything below. So as that heat rises back up, it is heating the volume of the room. The items in it become a heat source. It's a very effective
heat source. And that's what we looked at, Kate. And that seemed to be the most cost-effective means of heating. And now the cooling, I'm not sure how that would work, but the buildings that I looked at had both heating and air conditioning. But it was going to run $2,500, so I wouldn't be surprised if we got a new estimate going forward now. Could be $3,000 a month.
I think, you know, I'll just point a finger towards the Criminal Justice Center, which I think was built with great intentions and so on, but that has become a large financial drain, mm-hmm. Because of that. And, you know, I think probably in hindsight it wouldn't have been done like that. I personally, you know, as a taxpayer, I would like to see some kind of understanding of more than just what utility costs it could be and fluctuating and so on, but really what the overall cost of the community is going to be, mm-hmm. and what that does then to take money away directly from patient care. Yes, there is an indirect benefit to patient care, but it's not a straight shot. By having another building, you know, at a location which I think nobody feels is 100% the right place. In fact, I heard many of you say, you know, over campaign periods and so on, you know, kind of, yes, building's not there. Those were just questions that I had.
Brittany? Mm-hmm. So, I'll move on about what I was going to say. Okay. Sorry.
I was just going to, I guess, pose a question, because I agree, and I've said it many times, I don't think that location's the best and ideal. I guess just devil's advocate to, you know, being up on Hart Street. Yeah, you're closer to respond on, you know, on the mountain. I said it, but it's, you know, an advantage. Being an EMT, that would have been really tough for me to get to the barn, and that's what I always thought about as response time to get there. Is it a little quicker to hop right on either interstate if there's crashes? You know, so I don't want to throw out that it's, you know, there's wouldn't be advantages there as opposed to, you know, you get high on Hart Street, you're driving with lights through town a lot to get to all the interstates. Again, I think there's a better location to serve the community as a whole, but, you know, you can, there's not a perfect, if there was a perfect lot sitting out there, I think we would all know about it. you know, the highway department, great, but YDOT.
When? That's huge.
Yeah.
I understand that.
I know, yeah. And so, again, I wanted to be clear. I agree it's not perfect up there, but nothing there's not a perfect of anything sitting out there, so I think we got to look at a few of the give and takes.
And again, as I mentioned too, like this is like the building would be built in 4 years down the road, and so we don't know. It may be a, as we mentioned, if you mentioned you talked with county planning and zoning, and that growth is happening in that direction. And again, I mean, it's half a dozen of one the other. Like you have this thing of like, well, if I lived back by Glencoe Way there, ambulance building on where the new location, that's ideal for me. If I lived where I lived behind Richardson Park, it takes a while. So it's tough. It's I see both sides of it, and I think that that's where it becomes tough, and it's really just sort of where you're at in the day when the call comes in as an EMT. You're at Dashin, you're quick, you know, and so it's just, it's both sides, unfortunately, and I don't know if there is an ideal location.
Could I say something about with the utilities and such? Right now, the Rural Healthcare District pays, I think it's $1,200 a month for to house the ambulances, and we're still paying $1,200 a month for an office space that we don't have. So one of the things that I looked at was, if we're no longer paying that, that those funds could go towards helping pay the utilities.
Yes.
But there's always things that you don't think about. Mm-hmm.
Well, are we in agreement that we want to utilize these grants? That we're going to have something somewhere, and we might be able to find a better property, and we might be able to get something affordable, but I don't think any of us are ready to say no, we're not ready to accept this money.
Correct.
Yeah. So with that, I think we can vote on using the grant money. I don't think it has to necessarily right now the second be voted on in terms of that exact location. I think we give ourselves maybe one more month to see if we can, I'll call whoever Dennis is talking about on that property. But I would like to see us use this grant money. So if anyone would like to make a motion to do that.
I'll make a motion to proceed with seeking building and location options and accept the grant money.
I'll second that.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion passes. So I think we can continue this conversation in terms of time. Now that we know and we can, at the next meeting, I would like us to come up with a new, what was, committee was it? The construct
building
committee, a new building committee. It can be, because it was some Buffalo EMS members, it can be the same ones if we want, but obviously we're going to have to put new board members on that committee and then move forward with that. So next is the contract, contract terms in terms of Buffalo EMS contract. So we've had discussion about it. If anyone feels comfortable making a motion, we can do that. If you feel like we need more conversation, now is the time we can do that as well.
Brittany, I just want to say again, I before I would be willing to vote on a hard and fast, I don't care whether it's 3 years, 2 years, 4 years contract, I would want to see the contract. And with that, I mean, I'm ready to vote.
Okay.
Everybody else is.
Okay.
I move that we grant Buffalo EMS a 4-year contract contingent upon the fact that we can agree to terms within the contract.
Okay. So there's a motion on the table. for a four-year contract for Buffalo EMS, contingent upon conditions of the contract. That conditions upon the contract are met and mutually agreed upon.
Perfect. I'll second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay. Motion passes.
Now you've got the patient ambulance bill.
Oh, patient ambulance bill. So there was already a agreed upon thing with quit claims that the patient was going to pay quit claims a monthly payment. I believe we should sort of let quit claims continue with that and let them handle it and not become involved. But I think that's a board decision. So
did they adjust? I mean, was there some agreement on a lower amount?
$25 a month.
For the total amount, though.
They didn't say.
Okay.
And he did not qualify for Medicare.
Did we see what the Medicare rate would have been?
It was like $1,000 and something for the first trip, and $1,000 and something for the second trip.
Like cut it in half, or
no? Well, the total bill was $7,000.
Oh.
It would cut it down to about $22,000. Okay. 2,240.
Said they didn't, but they didn't tell you that that was set up, and the comments were made that they weren't going to pay any of it.
Yeah.
Well, at that rate, it would take 10 years to pay this, which means, and that would be at roughly $300 a year. 8 years to get to $2,200. So in a sense, the rate's reduced. The reality is it'll be not very likely that even that much money is collected on this, and I don't
see
how.
And they have not received the quit claim stated they haven't received any of that payment so far.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything better this board could offer that individual.
In favor of letting quit claims.
Okay. Let's just make a motion for it, and then we're covered. And I will call the patient and let them know. And then I will I'll contact the gal, too, that from the email from quit claims and just let her know. Because the lady said, the mom had said she had never received an additional bill from quit claims, so I don't know if she was thinking more bills were, like, an actual bill for something was going to come in. If we could just have someone make a motion to allow quit claims to deal with this.
I move that we continue with the terms established by quit claims for this account.
I second the motion.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Perfect. All right. Thank you all for an effective work session. I think we had a lot of great conversation, so I appreciate the public comment and the public being here, and we will see everyone at our next meeting. Okay, thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Do we have to make a motion?
Oh, yes, make a motion.
Second that.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Thanks, guys.